Let's get this party started!
We know each other! He's a friend from work!
Just shut up. You had me at hello.
Rose? Where we're going, we don't need Rose.
This is how I win. Alright?
You have my curiosity. But now you have my attention.
This is the way.
This is the way.
And here we go.
Welcome back to Final Take, a conversation podcast about movies and who some of our favorite actors and actresses are. I am Ethan Zimmy.
I am Austin Davis.
Today on the show, we are taking a swing at listing our top five actors and actresses of all time. I think a good preface, something to keep in mind, all of my actors and actresses are going to be in movies that I've seen in the past like 2 weeks. Because I have a recency bias problem. You know this. The listeners know this. Nothing new to the
that
podcast.
That means I already know one person.
I honestly think you're going to be able to guess like three out of my five. I think the listeners are going to know.
Yeah.
Like three out of my five.
I at least know two.
Yeah. We'll get
minimum,
there. We'll talk about it.
Minimum of two.
We'll talk about it. Look, Austin, I wanted to start this podcast off. We have two prefaces as per usual, and then we'll get into the list. One of which, two trailers came out for two different Andrew Garfield movies, and I wanted to kind of pit them against each other and take a look at them. But first, I told you I was coming over to your house, and you said, please wait, I'm finishing Loki. And I said, okay, great. And then you text me, you said, okay, I finished it. And I said, okay, how was it? And you didn't tell me. So how was Loki episode one? Spoilers, but jump ahead, you know, 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
If you don't want Loki episode one spoilers, but I got to know. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, fresh take, you know.
This is a right off the line.
You know, it was okay. Nothing like spectacular like stood out to me. They're definitely like referencing so many different things.
So many.
I mean,
did you like the referencing? Like, or did you think it was overkill on the referencing?
I think, how do I describe this? Loki was supposed to come out significantly later after a couple movies that already came out.
Yeah.
So I feel like because of that, we're missing stuff.
That should be to our knowledge in Loki.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
it's
like
a fair take.
I mean, like I look at, why am I blanking? Black Widow's the next one that comes out. Then
we got Eternals.
And then we have Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. And Shang-Chi.
Yeah. And then when does Doctor Strange come out?
Comes out early next year. Like May, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So there's a lot. It's just like a full slate upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Loki is like heavily in the mix with all of those things.
Yeah. And I feel like it's going to have heavy influence with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
That's the first initial, like, I think those two are connected.
100%. I feel like that's where the MCU is headed currently, is like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Everybody is like, that's the movie.
Yeah.
Like, we are all gunning to that. Like, that's the peak of Everest, where it's like, we've finally made it.
This is where, like, things start to come together. Now you're, like, here, we're setting up for Doctor Strange to reveal the bigger plan. Yeah. Like,
100%.
Like with Thanos. I mean, that like the idea of like we built up to Thanos, like
And Doctor Strange is going to be our big reveal. I enjoyed it. I probably enjoyed it more than you did. I'm sure I always end up enjoying things like that more than I should. Did you think it was better than WandaVision episode one?
Yeah.
Okay. I knew you were going to say yes.
That's
a
simple
yes. I had to ask you.
I think it's on par with what like Captain America or
Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's better so far. I think Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston I think they have like a little special something that I think we'll get to see play out more.
Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston has said in interviews, like episode 4 and 5, like you better be ready. Like, you know, your brain's going to explode. So I'm just ready for those episodes.
Yeah.
I liked the first episode. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a little clunky. Like my takeaway is it was really fun. I liked the world building, the TVA, everything we're getting there.
Yeah.
I like the callbacks. Like that's nice for everybody to kind of get to relive that. Infinity Stones or paperweights, like
there's nothing there. Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. We're all getting our hearts shattered constantly by the MCU, but
you're
just
like, all these people died for paperweights.
For nothing, for paperweights. And look, if Marvel Studios or Shop Disney or whatever wants to put out actual Infinity Stones paperweights, I'm going to buy them all. You're gonna like, there's no question about it.
Are you going to put them all together on one paper? Or are you going to like separate them and move
them? No, I got to put them in different locations in the house. You know? Okay. I got to sparse them out. Mm. It's like the Infinity Stone. You know, got to sparse them out through the galaxy.
I mean, no, they were brought together.
That's true. And then over time, I'll just slowly work them together.
What references did you feel like you grabbed from that?
From the show?
Yeah. Initial viewing. I don't want you to be like... things that I know now based off of my extensive research that you've...
Sure, yeah, all of my time that I've spent digging into it. Mm. I mean, I think, like, in terms of references, I think the biggest Easter egg or whatever that I noticed right away is them talking about, like, the nightmare dimension or, like, the nightmare department, right? Yeah. Of, like...
That's a different department,
yeah. Right? And, like, that... Loki saying this is a nightmare and Mobius saying, oh, that's a different department. Like, that's very, very, like, clued in.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen Nightmare yet in the MCU. And the other one that I immediately picked up on was during that, like, Miss Minutes kind of video of her explaining timelines. She mentions that if a variant goes to another timeline, we could have another... like massive war.
Yeah.
And my thought was like, why you said another, like, why are we saying another? Because I'm curious. And now people, you know, people are speculating, like, did a secret wars event, did that already happen? And we just haven't seen it because we've only been focused on Earth 616. Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, to me, that really stood out of like, other shit is happening and like, we don't know anything about it. It's going to get wild.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Did you notice Kang the Conqueror?
Like, are you talking like in the TVA logo-ish?
Yeah.
Like, so it kind of looks like him?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, he's supposed to be the villain for Ant-Man.
Yeah, and so Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he's one of the timekeepers.
Yeah, one of the time people. Like, apparently in the comics, him and Renslayer are together. And they like
they're together. That you put your hands together made it suggestive.
Together. Apparently together, they time jump. Huh? So that's the thought of like, oh, Renslayer, like, she's the only one that we know of so far that has direct contact with the timekeepers.
Yeah.
And that's probably because of Kang. And so, like, it wouldn't surprise me if we see Kang the Conqueror show up in the next 5 episodes.
Okay.
100%. Yeah. Slap it down. That's my guess.
Putting in the universe, we'll
putting
see,
it out in the universe.
Or the multiverse.
Yeah, the multiverse. You're
putting it in the multiverse, and we'll figure out if it's true or not.
Yeah, we will. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Second piece of business is Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Look.
We're just continuing with the MCU train.
And, yeah, continuing with the superhero, with the comic book train. Look, two trailers came out for...
not just one.
Yeah.
Two trailers, different movies.
Gosh, I couldn't believe it. And I didn't watch these at first because they were just kind of like... trailers that for things I had not really heard of or like whatever the case was.
Well, I just want to be clear though. One of them is not I mean, it has Andrew Garfield in it, but it's not an Andrew Garfield movie.
Yeah, like he's not the main character.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And what is that one you're talking about?
The Tammy Faye.
Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Yeah.
And then you've got Tick Tick Boom,
which he is the main character of.
Main character. So I think in the eyes of Tammy Faye, he's definitely like the supporting character.
Well, yeah, he's her husband. The fame. I forget his name. Yeah, I that was in the '80s. I wasn't even born at that time.
I am unaware of this entire movie plot, so no clue.
Oh, you don't know? I've definitely heard this story. It's a famed like televangelist that like just basically took money from his people. And she was all about that lifestyle.
An intimate look at the extraordinary rise, fall, and redemption of televangelist Tammy Faye Baker. Never heard of it. So I wanted to kind of talk about these two movies. Which I have two questions. Which one's going to be more successful financially at the box office? Which one will you personally enjoy more?
I already know your answer.
Before we... You can't put me in a box like that.
Oh, I already know your
you
answer.
You can't. But before we answer the question... The Eyes of Tammy Faye, supposed to come out in fall, September of this year. Jessica Chastain, nearly unrecognizable.
Oh, yeah. I didn't recognize her at all.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah. Great. I loved it.
Love every second of it. Andrew Garfield, obviously super recognizable face, like hard to cover up, but he looks pretty good in this movie. He looks like...
Well, he's supposed to be a televangelist. Like,
yeah.
The guy that... You know, takes money from the old.
Steals your money.
from your 6-year-old grandmother that's like, yes, I want to get into heaven. Yay, sir. Take all my money. Where does my check go?
You can have it. And then the other movie he's in is Tick, Tick, Boom, a musical drama. It's supposed to also come out in the fall of 2021 of this year. It's
directed by Lin-Manuel.
Yes, Lin-Manuel Miranda. It's his directing debut. Mm-hmm. Obviously not his first screenplay or anything that has made it to a movie.
No, you know, In the Heights just released, I think, yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep. And I really want to go see In the Heights, obviously.
Oh, it's on HBO.
I'm going to go see it.
You're going to go see it
in theaters. I'm going to go see it in a movie theater for sure. Tick, Tick, Boom is on the cusp of his 30th birthday. A promising young theater composer navigates love, friendship, and the pressures of life as an artist in New York City. Based on these two trailers,
Can I have a guess which one you're more the most excited about?
Absolutely.
It's definitely Tick, Tick, Boom.
It's definitely Tick, Tick, Boom.
And the reason why is my boy Ethan here, he loves himself some musicals.
Love myself
musicals. And Tick, Tick, Boom appears to be a musical, especially with Lin-Manuel being the director of it. I mean, if you don't know who that is, he's the creator of Hamilton.
Yeah.
The most
kind of a big deal.
Yeah. One of the most famous Broadway plays to have ever existed.
All time.
I mean, he obviously In the Heights is another, this movie that just released yesterday that he wrote. Yep. Like his name is, once Hamilton came out, is like
household name.
Yeah. We're getting you in. But it's funny. I saw him on How I Met Your Mother in one episode. I'm I recognize you. I know who you are, but what do you do? And now I'm yeah, you're that guy.
Now
I know. You're the musical guy.
Now I know. Yeah.
You're the hip hop musical guy.
He's the guy. I mean, look, Andrew Garfield to me, makeup and costume wise looks better in the eyes of Tammy Faye.
Mm-hmm.
But for Tick, Tick, Boom, I can already tell, obviously I'm going to relate to his character just a lot more in that.
What are you talking about? You've never been a televangelist?
Unfortunately, maybe in another life. I don't know. I can't relate, to the televangelist cheaters out there.
What about the musical prodigy that starts to see musical
notes in the bottom of
everywhere.
The swimming
yeah.
pool? Absolutely. Happens to me all the time.
Oh, wow.
Totally can relate. 100%. So I'm going to like Tick, Tick, Boom the most. What are you going to like more personally?
Probably the eyes
of Tammy Faye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I think that one to me is going to be more of a drama filled. I like Tick, Tick, Boom for me. Okay. This is where I'm at.
Lay it out. Give it to me.
With musicals. Either I really enjoy them, but I'm not going to watch them that often. They're just not that my thing. I enjoy Grease. Grease is a great musical.
Yeah.
I've watched it a few times, but it's never something I'm seeking to go watch.
Okay. That's fair.
That will probably be the case when I watch Tick, Tick, Boom. It's just going to be oh, I'll watch it. Okay, cool. Not going to go and try to seek it out again. Whereas I could see myself with a drama that that I could theoretically watch multiple times.
Absolutely. I mean, after all, this is our final take. Sounds like it'll be a multi-watch for you.
I have no idea. Who knows?
we'll see.
It could be crap for all I know.
I do think it's pretty, I just think it's a boss move from Andrew Garfield to be two movies, both in the fall of 2021, two drastically different films.
I feel like he's supposed to be in a different film too. He was just in a film that where he became a YouTube star or something.
Yeah, he was just in a movie called Mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have not heard of until right this second
when I literally say that, yeah.
You literally said it. But it looks like he's also in a TV miniseries coming in 2022.
Okay.
Called Brideshead Revisited. I have no clue what that's about. So I think it's a clutch move from him. I think that they're both going to be very different movies.
He also has another movie that you forgot that's coming out later this year.
What is that?
Spider-Man.
Duh. Don't fuck with me, man. Don't fuck with me. Get the hell out of here. Don't even start with me. I was I'm looking at his IMDb page. I don't see Jack. Don't play with me, man. Don't even start me down this road. And then
I gotcha.
I want to know from you.
That's a gotcha journalism at its best.
That's gotcha journalism. What do you think is going to be more financially successful, box office wise? What's going to have the better opening weekend? Eyes of Tammy Faye or Tick, Tick, Boom?
Well, seeing as you know, Tammy Faye Baker and her husband got a lot of money first time around.
You think they're going to wrap it up one more time?
Get one more time.
One more go around.
It's based on their life, so of course they're going to get money for it.
That's, yeah. And they got to get paid.
Unless they're dead. I don't know. I don't know that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Tick, Tick, Boom is going to have a better opening weekend. I think Lin-Manuel Miranda, like we said, household name. That's a big deal. It seems to be the year for at least somewhat large musicals within the Heights. Like, lots of hype around that movie coming out.
Well, and West Side Stories is coming out fairly soon.
Yep.
Steven Spielberg is... But that's also a previous Oscar winner movie.
Sure.
So, like...
Being remade.
Yeah.
Yep. I think the directorial debut from Lin-Manuel Miranda will draw people. I think people will want to say, I want to see him direct.
I just... Musicals are so hard to, like...
Mm-hmm. Hard to pin down.
Like, there's definitely people that are, like... gung-ho for every single musical that ever comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's the harder audience to grasp, to get in, versus something that's like, I don't need, like, yeah. I feel like, yeah, musicals and like horror movies and things like that, like they have like their specific audience, right?
Yeah.
And so it's hard to get those outside people into those.
To get more people involved.
Mm-hmm.
I do think The Eyes of Tammy Faye has that more broad general like drama dynamic to it.
Well, I mean, it's based off a true story that people know and stuff like that. They're like, oh yeah, let's see this dramatized. Like, it's already a dramatic thing. Let's dramatize it.
Even more.
Awesome.
Let's make it better.
Yeah.
I obviously we're leagues off from like an award conversation, but I could see that movie winning hair and makeup, some kind of like, or costuming award. That's banana stuff, just based on Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff to me.
There's another trailer that, though, we have not mentioned, and I want to briefly mention it.
Okay, yeah, you can bring it up, man. Bring it up.
A new trailer for Free Guy has dropped. You didn't mention this, and
I don't know why.
I want to know why you did not mention this, because I texted you about it, and you're like, nope.
I was like, I didn't see it yet. You know, I'll get to it.
And you didn't get to it, did you?
Oh, I totally got to it. Hey, I'm a man of my word. I texted you and I said, I'm going to watch it right now. What did I do? I immediately watched it as soon as I could. So we've seen several different trailers for this movie so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pushed back. We were pretty excited about it when it first came out, or like the trailers first came out. This new trailer really gives us way more exposition and like storyline than any of the other trailers before.
For sure, yeah.
I had no clue that like we were going this route of Ryan Reynolds being Free Guy, of like him disrupting the game. Like, I didn't know that was his goal, based on what we had seen so far. I think Taika Waititi playing like the evil corporate guy, gold. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I'm a little hesitant.
You're nervous?
I'm a little hesitant.
Tell me why.
So the last time that Taika and Ryan Reynolds were in a movie together.
Oh, God.
Do you know how successful that movie was?
Was it Green Lantern?
It was Green Lantern.
God damn it. It was Green Lantern.
So.
Bad track record?
I'm just saying.
They're just trying to redeem themselves, man.
I'm hoping that's the case. But if it's not, this movie's either going to tank or it's going to be like, it's not going to.
Yeah.
Honestly, no, I'm going to say this. It's probably going to be one of two things. It's either going to be a tank movie or a middle-of-the-road movie. That's my hot take right there. I don't think it's going to be super successful.
I will give you my hot take. I think this movie's going to bomb. I think it's going to be horseshit at the box office. I think it's been way too long from when we had gotten our first trailer. I think the hype is not there. I will go see it. You will go see it. Absolutely. I think there are moments of it that look funny, but... As per usual with Ryan Reynolds, and this is where I get weird with Ryan Reynolds, is like he just does things so over the top sometimes that like the jokes just don't land for me. Like it just is so unnecessary of some of the things that he does. And that could be script writing. That could be other things too. Like I'm not putting that on Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
But I can see the same thing absolutely happening with this movie where I'm just like four or three jokes like really land for me and the rest of them are just like, ugh, why? Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I love the video game aspect. I think that looks awesome.
I love Ryan Reynolds. Like, I think he's great.
I think it...
I can see it being either a bomb or a middle-of-the-road movie. I have a hard time... After this new trailer, I have a hard time seeing it becoming a successful movie. I feel like this trailer actually made me less likely wanting to see
it. I was just going to say. It made me less excited for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's really rare for a trailer to do for me, I guess. I don't know. Like yeah. I said, it's, I don't know. Long time coming. And this trailer, maybe it's good that this trailer came out because it revealed like what the movie's actually about instead of just random video game stuff.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. My hot take, this movie's going to absolutely bomb. Trash. That's what I'm saying. Let's get to our top five actors and actresses. Is Ryan Reynolds on your list?
He's not, no.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to try to make the transition. I already blew it, so it doesn't matter.
Nope.
Not on your list. Okay.
But no, yeah. So let's talk about actresses and actors. So, I mean, I have a list of five people, both of genders. You know.
Both of genders, yes.
Yeah.
I would assume.
You know, these are my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
So this isn't like...
We're not talking like best of all time.
Yeah.
We're talking like our personal favorites.
And so like when we say these people, we are saying like, hey, go see their movies in general. And I'll definitely like speak to certain like movies that they did really well in and things like that. So really pointing to those for y'all.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when we get to like the number ones, like these are people like I've pretty much seen like every single one of their movies. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That totally makes sense. I think I kind of went about this list thinking, okay, look.
You're like, which Marvel movie were they in?
It's like, how many times are they in the MCU?
Mm-hmm.
If this person was in a movie, would I be more apt to go see that movie? Like, would I go out of my way to say, oh, this person is in a movie? I want to go see this movie now.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I went about my list. Did you have a hard time with your list? Did you have like an automatic five that you kind of went to? How did it go for you?
So I
want to know the brain of Austin Davis.
I kind of wanted, I looked at it because I was like, I wanted to include both actors and actresses because I feel like I typically lean more towards actors. And I'm like, no, I definitely like there's certain actresses where if they're in it, like I want to watch those movies. So that was the one thing that I stuck in my head. I was like, I got to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
And so it made it a little difficult. I may have done a tie for number two.
Okay. I've got a tie for number five. So we're in the same
boat.
Okay,
cool.
Awesome.
Yep. Awesome. Great. Yeah, no.
But you had to do some thinking, right?
Yeah, no, it's not easy.
No.
I definitely was like Googling like top actors and top actresses just so I can get my brain like rolling. I'm like, what's the spark plug? Okay, cool, Google.
I went to my Letterboxd and I was like, what out of all the movies that I've recorded on Letterboxd that I have seen, like what movies did I enjoy the most and like did they have a common denominator of an actor?
Yeah.
So it was hard for me to come up with this list.
Mm.
As we go, you'll probably see that, I'll probably backtrack on a lot of stuff that I say and just throw it out in the universe.
Well, I do have a transition for you now.
Okay.
I think about it. So we were just talking about Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
So let's start with my number five.
Okay, let's start with your number five.
My number five is a spouse of Ryan Reynolds
that
I was unaware of.
Wow.
Which is Scarlett Johansson.
Hold on. This is news to me. Are you serious?
Yeah.
They're married?
They were married.
Oh, a former spouse.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Because I did think he was married to Blake Lively currently, and I'm pretty sure that's real.
Yeah.
Okay. Married to Scarlett Johansson, 08 through 11.
Yeah.
I love to see it.
I was
wow.
like going through her briefly before we began. Through her Wikipedia, and it was like first spouse is Ryan Reynolds. I'm like, oh, I did not know that.
Did not know that.
Now I know.
Okay.
Obviously she's Black Widow. Like she's been in the MCU for a hot minute.
Yeah, she has.
So
a decade, man.
Yeah, so she's definitely there. Now I want to talk about some of her other things.
I just say real quick though, this is a dynamite pick, by the way.
Oh, thank you
for your number five slot too. Yeah. That's bold. I like that a lot.
Okay, so I mean, I feel like her first real film that really played a big, I don't know, like
a big role,
like a role of hers that kind of like got her past some of these kid roles that she was kind of in.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Ghost World. So definitely, like, if you haven't seen Ghost World, definitely go check that one out.
Ghost World. 2001, Ghost World. Okay. I have not seen that. I've never even heard of it.
You've never heard of it?
No.
No, it's definitely, like, one of those, like, cult classic type movies.
Okay.
I'm trying to pull up her list on Wikipedia, but there's no list. It's just, let's just do paragraphs of stories about her life.
Okay.
Because, you know, hold on, I'm pulling IMDb up.
I can kick you off with a few. Let's see. It looks like Lost in Translation, 03.
Yeah,
probably one of the first, like, really big, minus, like, Ghost World. You go through, you've got, what other ones? The Black Dahlia. I did not see The Prestige. We've talked about The Prestige mm-hmm. before on this show.
And Girl with the Pearl Earring and stuff like that. That was mm-hmm. a big one during that time.
Iron Man 2.
Perfect Score. Let's talk about her stealing the SATs.
I've never seen it.
She was in an episode of Entourage. I mean, come
on. Entourage. Look, when I think of Scarlett Johansson, obviously I think of the MCU first with Avengers and everything like that. Secondly, I think about her as the voice of Samantha in Her.
The next route I was going to say was A Marriage Story.
Yeah.
And I think, like, and then... yes, her, like, the voice in there, but then also Jojo Rabbit.
Yes. I know. I totally forgot she was in Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
She's also in Chef.
Yep. Yeah.
So killer. I can't believe it.
Which I'm so excited about. I'm going to go to one of the restaurants when I just told Ethan this. I'm going to Austin, Texas, later this, dude, like, in a couple months. I'm definitely going to Franklin's Barbecue, which is a place where from that one of those scenes. So, But no,
the clutch move.
I feel like you look at Lost in Translation, there's another one where she Under the Skin kind of got these mixed reviews and stuff like that. There's another movie that I'm blanking on that she was in.
She was in Lucy, was kind of a big deal too. Mm-hmm. She was kind of the main Go and Lucy. But I know Ghost in the Shell also got pretty bad reviews and was more recent. But when you do think about Scarlett Johansson, there's some banger movies, man.
Yeah.
She's in there.
I think that she's, like, at the beginning was kind of like, this is who Scarlett Johansson is. I think she has progressed as an actress. And now that most likely, I mean, I haven't heard confirmation that she's totally out of the MCU.
We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
So, nobody's ever really dead in anything comic book.
Yeah.
So
with that being said, she could theoretically come back, but I think, like, she's taking her step away.
Yeah.
At least for a little while.
I think everybody kind of in that realm, like that first generation, mm-hmm. is kind of pulling back a little bit. But
there's only like really a couple people that are like, yeah, still for it.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. You never know. I mean, look, Anthony Mackie. He's been in it since The Winter Soldier in, like, 2014, mm-hmm. and he said he's
same with Sebastian.
Yeah, and Sebastian Stan. And Anthony Mackie said he's game to play Captain America for, like, 6 or 8 years in an article with Variety.
Well, that's, I mean, insane. Sebastian Stan is like, every time they call me, I'll be there.
Crazy, man.
So.
Crazy. Okay, great pick. Scarlett Johansson, number 5. I like that a lot. I'm a little jealous. That's a really good pick. All right, I'm going to start my number 5 off with an actress as well. Now, this actress, I will say, most of the people on my list, I have not seen everything that they're in. So I'm not, like, trying to tout, like, you have to see every single movie that this person is in. But overwhelmingly, what I have seen, I have enjoyed greatly.
Yeah.
So my number 5 pick is Margot Robbie.
Actually. See, I was thinking about her too.
Love Margot Robbie.
She's a solid hitter.
Solid hitter. It's really very impressive things that she has been in. Like I said, I haven't seen anything. Most notably, I've not seen I, Tonya. Really want to see I, Tonya. Mm-hmm. And same with Suicide Squad. I haven't seen Suicide Squad, and I know she's Harley Quinn in it, but I'm sure I'm not missing a whole lot. Look,
I mean, she made that movie. I'm going to put that out there.
You're going to say that?
Like, are you referring to the first one, right?
Yeah, the first of the flopper.
Yeah, she made that one.
Yeah.
Out of all the characters, I mean,
the best.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think so many people are like, oh, we're going to dress up like her for Halloween and all that stuff, like, after that. So,
think about Margot Robbie. She is also still super, super young, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
She was born in 1990.
Okay.
She's 31. Not even 31. She turns 31 next month.
See, me and her are the same age.
Same age. She's been in crazy blockbuster movies.
I haven't.
Do a podcast.
I know so that she's married, but that...
I mean, most notably, I think for me, her two roles that I enjoy her in the most, Wolf of Wall Street, obviously.
Yeah.
I think she crushes it in Wolf of Wall Street, and it is incredible.
Yeah, I mean that's the movie that I think like launched her. She was in other stuff before, but I think that's the movie that launched her. Once you're in a Scorsese film,
you're like, set. Yeah. You're set for life. If Scorsese trusts you, you're set. And then The Big Short, obviously one of my favorite movies. Yeah. She's in The Big Short, a phenomenal bubble bath scene that just gets me going every single time.
Ew.
Not even for the fact that Margot Robbie's in a bubble bath, like drinking champagne, but for the fact that Margot Robbie is in a bubble bath drinking champagne
and explaining
stocks to me. Oh my God. I can't. Life doesn't get much better than that. And then she's in, like I said, I, Tonya, Suicide Squad. She's in a lot of other things. That I haven't seen. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, probably another most like notable that I haven't seen. But I will say, going back to the episode where we saw Birds of Prey and the fantastical emancipation of one Harley Quinn, I was not too high on that movie when we first saw it. I didn't think it was very great. Going back, she makes that movie exist.
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, besides Ewan McGregor, also very good. But like, she makes that movie exist. Without her playing Harley Quinn, I think she is the best Harley Quinn, obviously, that there's ever been, might ever will be.
Yeah, I
don't see anybody else that could do it better. I don't know.
Sometimes
I don't know.
People just make the role themselves.
They just
have
a knack. So Margot Robbie, for me, answered the question. If Margot Robbie's in a movie, I will try to go out of my way to go see it. So that's how I do that one. Slot number four. What do you got?
So
moving right along.
I'm gonna go with a just someone that's been around since the 80s.
Wow, been around a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
give it to me.
This is an actor that I've seen just growing up. Been in great films, all that stuff.
Tom Cruise.
It is a Tom, but not a Cruise.
Oh, it's so close.
Nope, it is a Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, so close.
Tom Hanks to me is a superior actor compared to Tom Cruise. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. Battle of the Toms. Hanks wins it every day of the week, twice on Sundays.
He's someone that will pull your heartstrings. He will make you laugh. He will make you just like you want to root for him. And I feel like he's just a genuine guy in real life, too. Like I feel like I rarely ever see like news where like Tom Hanks is in the news because he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
No, I feel like, I mean, he played Mr. Rogers for Pete's sake. Like,
God, bro.
Like,
for real.
This guy, he is phenomenal. I mean, one of the first movies, like older movies that I remember him being in was Big. I loved the movie Big. I mean, like as a kid watching them, like who doesn't want to be grown up and it's like, oh, maybe I don't want to be an adult. Maybe being a kid's actually fun.
Actually the best. Dude, like, look at his late 80s, 90s run. He's got Big, Joe Versus the Volcano, A League of Their Own, Sleepless in Seattle, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13,
Toy Story. All the Toy Stories, baby.
Saving Private Ryan, The Green Mile, Castaway, Catch Me If You Can in 02.
You've got Mail, you forget that.
Dude. He has a stellar run for 14 years, basically, almost with no misses.
Catch Me If You Can, Road to Perdition,
then he's
the
got
Terminal,
the Terminal
Polar
in
04. Express. Like, it's just a list of...
Listen, the Polar Express, all-time great Tom Hanks performance. I've got to put that in there.
He plays how many roles in that movie?
So many roles. IMDb doesn't even list them all. There's too many of them. I think after 04, he falls off a bit. I think he's had a hard last...
The Da Vinci Code was very successful. Cars was successful.
The Da Vinci Code was a bag. Like that was a Michael Caine grab the bag situation, though. He was in like three or four Da Vinci Code movies, right?
No, like two.
Oh, really?
There've only been two movies.
Still, grab it, secure the bag. Which, like, kudos to Tom Hanks. Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's been definitely some that have not been like
Cloud Atlas. We talked about Cloud Atlas last week on the show. He's in Cloud Atlas.
Yes, he is.
Great movie. And I did see Captain... No, I saw...
Captain Phillips is freaking phenomenal.
I did not see Captain Phillips. I led you on. I'm sorry. I saw Sully.
Yeah.
The one with the pilot. I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I saw it a long time ago in the theater. Yeah. So, great pick.
Yeah. He's just... he is just one of those guys where you can literally watch anything from him and just be like, it's good. Like, he's just has such a range, and that's why I picked him as being like my number four, which means that obviously I feel like there's other people that have even more range above them.
Sure.
But yeah.
Yeah. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Sublime as well. Like, I really feel like in that movie, it's just like Tom Hanks being kind of like Tom Hanks. Just like, I feel
he's
like that
means Mr. Rogers.
I know, but I feel like that's how he would be in real life.
I remember
life.
Watching I like, the trailer so and tearing up because I was like,
dude.
Yeah.
The quote unquote like twist in that movie, like the final 20 minutes or whatever, when we realized like it was all about the reporter and changing lives through him, like gut wrenching.
Yeah.
Such a good movie. A lot of people didn't like that movie. I don't get it. I like that movie. Great pick. Great pick.
Thanks. What's your four?
Number four. So my number four, somebody who.
Didn't you say this is your tie spot?
No, well, so my number five was going to be my tie spot, and I was going to throw Emma Stone in the mix.
Okay.
Because,
I saw her. And you and I actually had a conversation about her.
Yes.
But, hey, let's just do honorable mentions.
Yeah,
After number two. How about that?
We
can talk about her
there. That sounds square. Okay. Yeah, we'll put Emma Stone in there. Like I said, recency bias fucking strikes again. Love to see it. So my number four slot is going to go to Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
I love Bryan Cranston.
As a movie actor.
As an actor in general.
Okay.
So I knew you were gonna get me on this. And obviously Breaking Bad.
I'm like, because he's only been in one movie most recently, which I think is Godzilla.
So he's been in Godzilla. He was in The One and Only Ivan last year.
Okay.
Which I didn't see.
I didn't see that one either.
Technically, he's in El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie as well.
I haven't seen that.
He is also in Drive.
Yes, you're right.
Gotta remember, he's also in Drive, and he's very good in Drive. So, yes, he's not in a lot of movies, per se.
He's primarily a TV actor.
He does a lot of commercials, which is like a thing
I'm seeing on
his IMDb
page. I'm sure he does a bunch of foreign commercials.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
I mean,
I've seen one with him recently where he like was going to the pharmacy, or like he was a pharmacy tech, and the person's like afraid to take the pills from him.
That sounds like great role for Bryan Cranston. He was in The Infiltrator in 2016. That's pretty pretty focused on him. And like you said, Godzilla. So he's got a spotty movie career for sure. Oh my God, he was in Argo. That's another reason I chose him. Really good in Argo, plays Jack O'Donnell. So he's got a spotty movie career for sure, but his movie career as a whole plus Breaking Bad, that really like helped form him as an actor.
You're forgetting the 80s and early 90s role that he had.
His
guest star role.
I never saw
Seinfeld.
Malcolm in the Middle, but yes, he's very good in Seinfeld. He plays Tim Watley, the dentist, who's like really honestly a really shady dentist. Let's be real.
Oh yeah.
Really rides the line on like what's ethical and what's not.
I got a tiny take for you.
Yeah, tiny take.
Heard it from the mouth of Bryan Cranston himself.
Whoa,
in an interview.
The big dog.
So I know this is real because he's the one that said
legit.
It. Yeah. So there's a scene where like, I think it was Jerry that was going under.
At the dentist office.
Yeah,
oh, for sure.
And that's when he wakes up and his pants are undone and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, he zips up his pants.
Yeah.
Jerry has no clue what's going on. He's I'm pretty sure I was violated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that scene, right? Okay. Where Bryan Cranston was going to put him under. Before it was just like the scene was like he was just going to put him under and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the like light technician or the boom mic guy or whatever, Bryan Cranston was just like, yeah. The guy was like, it'd be funny if you took a hit of it first and then.
No way.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And so, so he like took a hit of the fake helium or whatever. Like not helium.
To test it out. Yeah.
To test it out and then put it on. Yeah.
So clutch. That strikes me as a Bryan Cranston move right there.
Yeah.
I like to see that. When he converts to being a Jew and he just makes Jew jokes consistently is hilarious. Absolutely great. So I think Bryan Cranston as a rounded out actor, extremely versatile, really intense. We know from Breaking Bad, he can hit that like upper echelon of emotion that not a lot, I feel like is a very select pristine group of people. Obviously it's 10, 15, 20 people, but I feel like he's part of the group.
Well, I think too, like you look at the main role that he had prior to Breaking Bad, which was the father character in Malcolm in the Middle, which I don't remember his name.
I don't know his name either.
Yeah, but he like he played a doofus character. He played like an idiot, not a smart father, very over dramatic and things like that. Very stereotypical father character in most TV series. Mm-hmm. To then going to like Heisenberg, like
totally different.
Yeah, total I haven't finished all of Breaking Bad, so don't ruin that for me.
You haven't finished all of Breaking Bad?
No, I've gone through a good chunk of it.
Molly and I rewatch Breaking Bad once a year.
I believe
it's
that.
Fantastic. apparently, he was in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah.
In 1993.
Yep. He
didn't know this. The more you know. The more you know.
Wasn't he the head?
He was
the
Twin Man or Snizzard.
I think he played like multiple roles. Like he was like someone that kind of like they just kind of tossed in,
kind of put in there.
Yeah. In the TV show. Yeah.
Very impressive. Very impressive. That's my pick. Mm. Move on to your number three, good sir.
All right, number three. Let's see here. I actually didn't get their stuff ready. I was so into this conversation.
Yeah, my number three is just blank. It's like I have a name, but it's just blank. All right, I'm just gonna gun it.
No, I have a great name that you will be like, yep, okay.
Okay, give it to me.
Again, I'm gonna go a little bit more old school of an actor. Great, like he has been, like he was working. Let's see here. Like since I think the 70s.
Okay.
So this is like the length of time.
It's old school, yeah.
Started out with TV and stuff like that. It is the great and late Robin Williams.
I had a feeling you were going to put him on your list and I like that pick a lot.
Mm-hmm. He is just one of those guys where like he did great films. I mean, a couple of my favorite films have him in it, like Good Will Hunting. He definitely, like, his role in that movie, it like pulled at my like heartstrings. Like he's supposed to be this like comedy actor, like everyone put like lumped him in this comedy role, and then he is like, but no, he can pull people in and make you relate to him and things like that. Dead Poet Society, same thing. Like,
like, I think he just killed it. Yeah.
I think it's just unfortunate, like obviously that we like lost him at such like a way and stuff
way
like
too
that.
Soon.
He is just one of those guys that like I know like mental health and stuff like that is just like it's just a representation of like how much people could be suffering and like but they show off this thing like this is who I am. So it's really unfortunate about that, but as a film, like, and as an actor and all this stuff, he had such an impact in the community of film. He definitely, I know that not everything that he did was the best movie ever, but I laughed at so many of his movies. I've cried at so many of his movies. Like,
he gives it his whole heart.
Yeah.
Everything he does.
So,
I feel like that's worth something.
Yeah. So that's why he's definitely in my top five.
That's a clutch play. I mean, Flubber, man, he's in Flubber. You can't go wrong with Flubber.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, I knew. Jack is really good
you
too.
You would not Doubtfire, dear. Doubtfire.
And Jumanji, yeah. like you didn't even talk about Jumanji. Yeah. That's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, great movies. I mean, you didn't mention Patch Adams, which
Patch Adams,
which I know you watch because of Molly.
Yep, absolutely. So. It's one of her favorite movies. I mean. Obviously, the voice of Genie in Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
Hook.
Yeah.
He was in Hook.
So many banger movies.
Yeah, so many banger movies. That's a great call, man. That's a really good pick in the number three spot. I love that. Okay, so my number three spot, like I said, I just have a name written down, and I just tried to
Is it one name? So, like, Cher? Is it Cher?
It's just, like, one name.
In Moonstruck?
Sure. And that's it. And that's going to be that's gonna be my number three, Cher. I wrote this down. Because, again, it just answered the question to me, like, if this person is in the movie, do I want to go see this movie?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes. I wrote down Michael Keaton. Now, yep, this...
That's fair, yeah.
This was a little, a little soul-searching for me. This was a little surprising to myself, saying, like, oh, okay, I actually do rate Michael Keaton quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Because lots of things that he's in, I was going through his IMDb page, and obviously... He's in the MCU. Like, that's a thing. He's very good at Vulture. So that is a thing. But when he showed up in the Trial of the Chicago 7 and ended up basically being the catalyst for the very end of the film, changing the outcome for the Chicago 7, that right there encapsulates the question I tried to answer of, like, wow. Like, if that had not have been Michael Keaton, I would not have cared as much as I did. I think he's really, really good in almost everything he is. And he's kind of having a resurgence in like the last 5 years. He's really kind of got on the slope up. You know, when you talk about him, his older things, obviously Batman, he was in a lot of things in the 80s and 90s. Beetlejuice.
There's a duplicity, where he like duplicated himself.
Multiplicity.
Yep. I knew it.
You were so close. Jack Frost, terrible movie, but
terrible movie.
He's in Jack Frost. You know, things like this. And then the fact that, you know, starting whatever, however many years ago, I'm scrolling to it to see if I can find it. He's in 2015 Spotlight, and then you've got The Founder, and then you've got Spider-Man Homecoming. And then you've got Birdman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, did
Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance? I don't know. Did he win? Did he win the award for Birdman?
Well, I think the Birdman won, I believe, right?
Yeah. The Oscar. I don't think so. He was nominated
okay.
for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role for Birdman in 2015. I will let you know if Birdman won the Best Best Motion Picture. Yes.
Yeah.
Winner of the year, best motion picture of the year, best achievement in directing, best original screenplay, and best achievement in cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, people liked Birdman.
Yeah.
I saw Birdman on a plane.
Yeah.
Like that's where I saw Birdman for the first time. And this was back before I was like really into movies. I was like flying cross country, and it just happened to be like one of the picks. And I was like, yeah, let's watch this movie.
It probably just came out too.
Like, yeah, I think it was like a new one.
And it was like one of those, because I did the same thing with Parasite.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, like it's going to win the Oscar, or it had won the Oscar, and I was on the flight, and I was like, yeah, like when else am I going to watch it?
Yeah.
So it was right there. So like, as, probably similarly, well yeah.
And not to mention his fantastic running joke in The Other Guys of TLC, and don't go chasing waterfalls. That's just great stuff. I think Michael Keaton is as great as even possibly currently underrated for his ability to be in good things.
I think it's just he's very picky. I mean, I could be wrong.
No, I could see that.
I don't know. Like, he just hasn't been in a whole lot, to be obvious.
To be honest. Yeah. So he's got three movies coming out. Mm-hmm. He's got The Protégé coming at the end of the year. He's in Morbius. As
Vulture.
As Vulture, what we think. And then he's also going to be in The Flash as 80 or 90 Batman.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. That could prove to be a really big resurgence piece for him.
Couldn't he also be in Venom 2? Is he not slated to be in Venom 2?
Not according to his IMDb.
But I guess he was in Venom technically as well.
Oh, okay. So there you go. He could be. I don't know.
I think he was in Venom.
I like Michael Keaton. I've had The Founder on my Netflix queue for a very long time, and he's great in Spotlight as well. I just listened to a rewatchables about Spotlight. Oh man, that's a great movie, by the way.
You were so against watching it.
I was so anti-Spotlight. I was like, well, what the fuck is this movie? Like, get out of here.
And then like I describe it to you, and you're like, okay, maybe that's interesting. And then you go watch it, and you're like, yep, okay.
I texted you like that night, and I was like, yeah, this movie slaps.
Yeah.
Great movie.
God.
Now I know why I won Best Picture. Okay, moving on to number twos.
Okay.
Hit me with your number two, and then we'll do honorable mentions before we get to our number one.
I got to mention, this is my tie.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to say both of them.
Yeah, you have to.
Okay.
I'll give it to you.
It's
our show. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah. One is an actor. One is an actress.
Oh, nice.
All right. So let's go with the actor first. This is another actor that's been around for quite a while. Came in late 80s.
You like to pick the actors with the big libraries. You like to go with the
people that you know their name.
Yeah,
You've heard their name once.
Once. You know who this guy is.
Minimum. I would say early 90s, though, is what is when their stardom began.
Okay.
So I'm talking about Brad Pitt.
Wow. Brad Pitt, Fight Club man.
Yep. I mean, the role that really made him like stand out was, I think, Thelma and Louise. And then there it just kind of started going. You got The River Runs Through It, True Romance, Interview with the Vampire, Legends of the Fall, Seven, 12
Legends
Monkeys.
Legends of the Fall. Wow.
Yeah. 7 Years in Tibet, Meet Joe Black, and probably his best work, in my personal opinion, Fight Club. Mm-hmm. Then being John Malkovich, Snatch, The Mexican, Spy Game, Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13. I mean, you just name it. Troy, Mr. and Mrs. Smith,
Dude,
The Departed, Running with
Curious
Scissors.
Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah, like The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, which is, I haven't seen it, but I've heard great things about it. Like, it's such a underrated movie.
Like Underdog,
World
War Z, 12 Years a Slave.
Yep. I mean, Deadpool,
obviously,
2.
Obviously, The Big Short. Let's talk about The Big Short. Ben Rickert, fantastic role in The Big Short about a guy who just wants to grow seeds, and he doesn't trust money at all.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Ad Astra.
Mm-hmm. Crazy impressive resume.
Yeah.
From Brad Pitt.
So, yeah.
Literally all, I mean, so many bangers from the, just like the amount of time that has passed that he's able to, I mean, you're talking 1990 to 2020.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, a lot of bangers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's few and far between that he actually has a miss.
Yeah. I would say his best works are with David Fincher.
I think so.
I think that David Fincher and Brad Pitt are, they work well together.
Seven, Curious Case, Benjamin Button.
Fight Club.
Very impressive.
I think that him and Quentin Tarantino, Inglourious Bastards, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Inglourious Bastards, what the hell? Like, crazy.
Yeah, that was, I forgot that we didn't even mention that
even
one.
Talk
yeah.
about that.
Yeah. Buongiorno. Like,
Buongiorno. Yeah, Brad Pitt's ability to like just dive into character acting, I feel is upper echelon, is like top tier stuff. The fact that he just like really encapsulates a very specified character when he does a movie.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Love so, it. Yeah, that's why I chose Brad Pitt. Like, there's majority of the time, like, I'm excited to see his movies.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't seen all of them. He has a lot of movies. I'm not going to see all of them. But I definitely enjoy like a good chunk of the things that he's been in. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think I saw Ad Astra, but I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was like the last like one that stuck out in my mind. He did a phenomenal job in that role. I think he was nominated, as best supporting actor, I believe, for that role and might've won it. I could be wrong.
For Once Upon a Time?
Yeah.
Let's find out, man. I just got to click a couple buttons.
We'll get there. We'll find that answer.
This is podcasting at its finest form when you have to check. Let's see. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Winner!
Yeah. So, yeah, wow! I was right. Yeah, no. So, yeah, I just think that he is one of those actors that he's just iconic.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. He's too mainstream to make my list. I tried to go a little more under the
radar. Oh, yeah, really?
And you're going to fucking hate me off for your the number next one, two people I'm going to pick, or you're going to be like, no, it doesn't even count.
I already know that, what's his face? One of the Ryans is on there. Gosling is on your number. It's probably number one. I'm going to be.
I can't divulge. We're not there yet.
But that's just my guess.
So who was your actress for your number two? Who's your tie?
So,
don't even tell me Angelina Jolie. That would be too meta.
No.
That would be too meta.
Nope. This is my future wife.
I knew it was coming. honestly, I thought she was going to wait until the number one slot, but you know what? I'll take the time.
No, there.
That's okay.
There's someone else in my number one that I will watch pretty much every single one of their movies.
Love it.
But yeah, Emma Watson. I mean, she's been around since Harry Potter. I think we're about the same age as well.
Born in 1990.
Yeah. No, I mean, like,
she's born in Paris, France. Give me a break, man.
Yeah, she's French.
She's cultured.
Yeah. She's Look English.
She's too
French.
Cool. She's too cool for you.
Shut up.
Get out of here. Look, we've talked about Emma Watson before, a handful of episodes ago, probably now, but Emma Watson is potentially primed to, if she can find the right role in the right big movie or big blockbuster or big IP, to have an incredible like next decade. She hasn't been in a ton of big things recently since Harry Potter.
Yeah, and I don't think she wants to be honest.
Oh yeah, we're talking to her. You DM'd
her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, me and her.
Me and her.
I I message her. She never messages back.
You always initiate. Yeah. You've got to kick the conversation.
Yep.
Little Women obviously did very well.
Yeah.
Very successful. Greta Gerwig. Great success when it comes to that. Beauty and the Beast, really like the last big piece of IP that she was in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Noah, like we said last week, was Noah. Not that great of a movie. But she was in This Is the End, The Bling Ring, and also Perks of Being a Wallflower, which is in one of my top five movies. So, to me, I think the only movie, honestly, that I have not seen her in is Colonia, Regression,
okay,
Little Woman, and My Week with Marlon?
Yeah, I have never even heard of Marilyn. That
movie. Yeah.
How have you not heard of My Week with Marilyn? Yeah, it's one of the best movies of all time.
No, you don't lie.
Never heard of it.
But yeah, the other one's definitely seen. I think she's great, and I want to marry her.
That's a great pick.
She's smart. She's attractive. all those things. She is the perfect woman.
Seems like a solid, well-rounded decision that's unbiased in any form.
Yeah.
So congratulations. Mm-hmm. You've done good work here.
Fingers crossed she hears this.
Fingers crossed. Emma.
At least just meet me.
Just come on the show. Just say hey to Austin. Mm-hmm. We're not really asking a lot.
Yeah.
Just come on. Come on over. My number two slot, you know, I've got to go with one of my boys.
Either going to be Adam Sandler, the Sandman, or Ryan Gosling.
It isn't Adam. You're close.
Oh, then it's Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. Nailed that one. Hit that one out of park. Home run. Obviously, it's got to be Adam Driver. He's in tons of stuff. He's going to be in House of Gucci, so I'm going to talk about House of Gucci. Any chance that I can. He's going to be in The Last Duel, which is apparently a Ridley Scott, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon writing, directing situation going on. So there's that.
If Matt Damon's writing it.
Sold. Easy. Not to mention, obviously, Adam Driver, his most prominent role over the last 6 years or whatever has been Kylo Ren in the new Star Wars trilogy, which I think he plays fantastically. I'm not going to get into everything that I could get into when it comes to Kylo Ren. I think he's got really great range with that character and does it justice. But some of his other really good movies, he's in Inside Llewyn Davis, by the way. I think a lot of people forget that. He's in the Meyerowitz stories. Great Noah Baumbach film.
Black Klansman. I love that movie. That's a great movie.
Excellent movie. And he's so good in that movie, too. He's really, really good. Mm. Logan Lucky.
Which is supposed to be great. I've never seen it, but I've heard only good things about that movie.
It is good. I will say my one qualm, if you will, with Logan Lucky.
Daniel Craig with a fake accent.
I love Daniel Craig with that fake accent. Honestly, it feels like all of our characters, Channing Tatum, Daniel Craig, Adam Driver, we're getting like 75% of them. Something in that movie just like keeps them toned down a little bit. Like we always keep the monitor down a little bit on them. I would have loved to see just like a little next level. Mm-hmm. Still a great movie. The Report, I really liked The Report. I think he's really good at being a drama actor and obviously Marriage Story. So
what about Don Quixote?
I haven't seen that one. The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, I haven't seen.
It's on Hulu.
Then I'm going to go watch it. I got to go watch it. I think he comes from a stage background, a Broadway background to the films. He's also got another movie called Patterson, which is like an Amazon original.
Yep.
I really want to see that. I love Adam Driver. And I think these top two spots for me, if a movie comes out, like I said, upcoming movie, so like House of Gucci, The Last Duel, if a movie's coming out with Adam Driver, I will go see that movie.
Yeah.
Like that's just pretty simple for me. There's not a lot of ifs, ands, or buts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's my boy, Adam Driver.
He's my boy, Blue.
I love that guy. Do you want to do honorable mentions before we talk about our number one?
Yeah, I got a couple. I don't have too many, to be honest.
I literally only have a couple as well.
Yeah. I got to mention Anne Hathaway.
Mm.
I think that she is a phenomenal actress.
She's a great Catwoman.
Yeah.
In Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Truthfully, I'm not, there's no anything behind that. She really is good.
I mean, she started out with like what, Princess Diaries, and then like moved her way up from there. There's a movie with another honorable mention of mine with like Jake Gyllenhaal.
My boy Jake G.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, something about drugs.
Something about drugs in the title or something about in the drugs title, yeah. In the movie.
Yes.
Yes, do all of those things.
Now I got to look it up.
It's probably just called Drugs.
No, it's not.
I'm
looking it up right now. Hold on. Now.
Ella Enchanted? She's in Ella Enchanted? Yeah. Wow.
Love and Other Drugs is... Yeah.
Nice. Drugs was in the title. Yeah. Love it.
She was an Interstellar. I mean, Les Mis. I think she won a Academy Award for that role.
Okay.
I wouldn't say, like, there's some movies that maybe not the greatest, then that's why I probably am keeping her out of it, out of my top five because of those movies.
Too spotty for you. Her career is a little spotty. Okay.
But I think she's a phenomenal actress. I think that she does a lot of different things and whatnot. I do want to watch Witches because I remember watching Witches as a kid, the original movie, and it creeping me out.
So you got to check out the remake.
Yeah, see how she does it.
Love it.
Yeah. But yeah, then Jake G, like Donnie Darko, is one of my favorite movies ever.
Nightcrawler, Sublime.
Yeah.
Nocturnal Animals. Haven't seen it yet. We'll see it, though. And not to mention Quentin Beck, Mysterio, in the MCU.
Yes.
Great role. Great role.
Sorry, I'm pulling up all of his movies real fast.
My boy Jake G.
I mean,
I love to see it. I recently saw a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal in it, Spirit Untamed.
Okay.
And I can say with 100% confidence, with that being a movie geared toward, you know, 5 to 8 year old girls about horses, Jake G never misses. He's fantastic in that movie. He sings in the end of that movie. I never knew I wanted to hear Jake Gyllenhaal sing, and I hope that he took lessons because he sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He has 11 projects upcoming.
Oh yeah,
no, that's bananas.
Yeah, he is a hard worker. I mean, ever since I think October Sky was, I think, one of his first ones. Mm-hmm. He's just been kind of going since then. Which that's a great movie in itself. I mean, he was one of the most ridiculous movies that he's ever been in. It's called Bubble Boy, but I enjoyed it the first few times I saw it. It's not a great movie. I don't want to say it's a great movie, but
it sounds like it's problematic.
It's interesting
based on the title. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, but then you look at like Jarhead. End of Watch is a phenomenal movie as well. It is from the writer of Training Day, and it's
oh my god.
Then you got Zodiac, which is known as one of the most underrated movies ever. Don't watch Prince of Persia; it's not good. Prisoners is also one of those underrated movies. Southpaw. I mean, yeah, he's got tons of movies.
He hits.
Last one for me is Emily Blunt.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah. Obviously, she has been in recently with her husband in Quiet Place.
And Quiet Place 2.
Yeah, Quiet Place 2. Another movie that really sticks out to me is Edge of Tomorrow. Yep. I really enjoyed that one. Live, Repeat, Die. She's going to be in Jungle Cruise, coming out with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Pirates of the Caribbean, but not.
Yeah, on the river.
On the river, yeah, instead of in the ocean.
Yep.
Exactly.
She was in Looper with Bruce Willis and
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah,
she was in Sicario.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cannoli! Yep.
Devil Wears Prada. I only seen half of that movie. It was.
How do you see half of a movie? What happened?
I went home. I don't want to talk about the story.
This is too much. You're like, can't do this movie.
No, I was enjoying it. Someone fell asleep, and I was like, I'm not just gonna sit here and watch this movie by myself. It's a little
That's
weird.
Acceptable. That makes sense.
Yeah. So
you're in the clear.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. Yeah. Emily Blunt. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Nice.
What are your honorable mentions?
Couple honorable mentions to mention before we get to our number ones real quick. Steve Carell. Love Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's in The Office. Not why I chose him. Namely, I was thinking about Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah.
Excellent in that movie.
That might be his only good movie. Oh, no.
Get the hell out of here. Virgin. He's also really good in Dan in Real Life.
I haven't seen that movie because
it's really sad. And I like sad things. I just do.
But Dinner with the Schmucks is terrible.
Terrible. I didn't even finish that movie. Yeah. It was so bad. The Big Short, he's Mark Baum.
True, yeah.
He's very good in that role. He's also very good in Beautiful Boy. Again, like a very sad dad role.
I'm surprised Timothy Chalamet
didn't crack the list.
Yeah. Is he in your honorable mentions now that I mention it?
No, can't be. I haven't seen enough. He hasn't been in enough things for me to see.
To warrant that spot?
To warrant an honorable mention.
Okay.
Once Dune comes out, though, he's in the list. There's no question about that. Yeah, he's really good in Beautiful Boy. He's also quite good in Foxcatcher, and then he plays Anchorman. He plays Brick as well in Anchorman.
True, yeah.
So he's got a lot of good things. Really, pretty hit and miss. I like him in
Seeking
a Friend for the End of the World with Natalie
Portman.
Yeah,
I love that movie. That's a great movie.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sue me. I like that movie. But then you say, like, Dinner for Schmucks, that's a big miss.
That's a big, big miss. Like,
things
there's
like that just
certain
didn't,
things
didn't
like,
work out.
It can almost hinder you so much. And
I'm surprised.
I feel like that,
I mean, I never saw, I never, like I said, I probably made it like 15 like, minutes in, and
yeah.
I was like, I can't do this movie.
Yeah.
Date Night, oh God.
Oh, yeah, Date Night's good.
Yeah.
He does have
you
some.
You start this off
yeah.
and you're like, oh, Steve Carell's no good. And now, now he's
okay,
all
I'm
bangers.
Like, yeah, but then like I always think of those like those terrible misses yeah. that it just like
stick with
you swing too hard and the bat flies off into the crowd. Like,
yeah.
That's
all it takes is one time. Yeah. You got to hit one fan and you're toast for life.
And that's Dinner with the Schmucks.
That's that. Other honorable mention real quick is a combo. Two people, they have to be working together. Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Have yeah. to have them together. They're a combination.
Not
for me.
Home Alone, Joe Pesci?
Home Alone, Joe Pesci is good. It's good, but it just, it's not the same level. Look, Raging Bull, they're in it together. De Niro wins Best Actor. Goodfellas, they're in it together. Pesci wins Best Supporting Actor. They're in A Bronx Tale, Casino, The Irishman. Total of seven films working together, whether that's acting, directing, whatever, together. Fantastic.
None of the Lethal Weapon movies?
No, can't do, no, doesn't do it for me.
He's got Mel Gibson.
I love Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro together. I think they play really well off of each other. They've made some of the most iconic films in film history with just those together with them. Okay, number ones. Let's get them. Let's do them. Do this thing. You want to go first?
I mean, by order, I would be going first. Yeah.
It's up to you. Give me your number one. And I can't even guess. I don't even know.
See, well, okay.
Literally
I feel like
know.
We need to go with yours because I feel like everyone knows what your number one is versus what my number one is.
Yeah, sure. I'll go if you want me to go.
It's Ryan Gosling.
It's Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question about it. It just is what it is. He's my favorite actor. That's what he's incredibly good looking. He's very charming. He's handsome. He's got the whole package.
Why you bring up his package?
He's, like I said, he's got the whole package. That's the whole thing. He's in so many good movies, and I'm not going to belabor Ryan Gosling here, but I do want to see First Man. I haven't seen First Man. So I will say that I haven't seen The Notebook. I will say, like, I haven't seen a couple iconic roles from him, but, like, literally just going through his list in terms of, like, more recent movies, you're looking at Blue Valentine, All Good Things, Drive, Crazy Stupid Love, The Ides of March, Gangster Squad, The Big Short, Nice Guys, La La Land, Blade Runner 2049, and First Man. Those are almost all hits.
Yeah, I feel like Blue Valentine was his like his step into being more of a serious actor. Because I think like the thing that I remember him prior to that was like Remember the Titans and him singing in the locker room, having this small insignificant role.
Yeah, Alan Bosley. I mean, and The Notebook, right? Like The Notebook came out in
2004. Actually, probably, yeah.
So,
probably Notebook was the catalyst for it. My bad.
Yeah.
I should probably say that.
But I do think Blue Valentine set him on a trajectory of where he is now in terms of dramatic acting chops.
Almost like indie stuff. I think that his indie part of his acting career began with Blue Valentine.
I think that's a great way to put it. Because then you have three movies in a row that are like more on the indie kind of like vibe of Blue Valentine, All Good Things, and Drive.
Mm-hmm.
They all have this kind of like lower budget feel to them.
And weren't those all by the same director? I know at least Drive and the other one after Blue Valentine. I think that was the same people.
Same director? That's a great question.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
But I do think like not enough credit for Blade Runner 2049 as Agent K. Like...
Mm.
He's so good in that, and I think The Nice Guys will forever be underrated as well. Like,
oh yeah, that's definitely one of those movies that are always underrated. Great movie too. Russell Crowe and him together, him with a broken hand, the whole entire movie.
So
like,
good.
Yeah,
he's got The Gray Man coming out. They're filming currently, which is going to be a Russo Brothers movie about.
I'm a little afraid of the Russo Brother movies after Endgame.
Cherry.
Yeah,
I heard Cherry was not as good as could be or whatever. The Gray Man is supposed to be about a CIA operative turned assassin. looks to evade mysterious forces as he tries to save the lives of the daughters who don't know he exists. Sounds ridiculous and insane. Like I said, the Russo brothers, but with Ana de Armas, Chris Evans.
I love me some
Ana de Armas.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, she's great.
She's excellent.
Yeah.
No Time to Die. Where are you? So that's my boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to abandon my boy. I'm going to throw him top of the freaking list.
Understandable.
Love to see it.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Nobody's surprised.
Yeah.
Nobody at all. What do you got? What's your number one?
I don't know if you, like, who, give me some guesses.
Dude, that's tough, man.
Give me three guesses as to who you think.
I would have thought in the Brad Pitt kind of vein of things,
mm-hmm.
For your number one. But like, I had such a hard time with my list. There's no way I'm guessing someone on your list.
I'll give you three guesses. Three guesses.
I have nothing. It can't be done. No, you gotta give me a hint.
No, it's an actor.
Give me.
It's not an actress.
Give me the first letter.
Nope,
of his first
I'm not giving. Nope.
I got nothing. Just give it.
Come
to
on.
Me.
No guesses. Just throw it out there. Just any name that pops in your head.
I mean, I can't. I'm like blanking on lists of like actors because I was just so deep in Ryan Gosling right now. Dude, I don't know, man.
All right. Well, then I'll give
sorry,
it to
I'm,
you.
I'm sorry. I'm trying.
How dare you?
Daisy Ridley.
I said actor.
Damn it. Missed it. What do you got?
Also, she's only been like in like four movies that I'm aware of.
Eugene Levy.
Nope.
What's another really?
Yeah, one more guess.
Tom Cruise is my other guess. So
nope. It is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that's who I was. I failed that one really badly.
One of the most famous actors ever to.
I was stuck on the Brad train. Who's the other?
He was in a movie with Brad Pitt.
I was stuck on the Brad Pitt train, man. There was no getting off. Train was going too fast.
Okay. Well, let's talk about his first movie that really put him out there. I think there was movies that he did. Like, I think This Boy's Life was one where he kind of was there. But I think his role as Arnie in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
So good.
Was the catalyst. I mean, he was in like I think Growing Pains back when like,
he was
but I think his role as Arnie was the thing that really pushed him forward, because I think that a lot of people thought he was mentally challenged after that film.
It's just a travesty that he did not get recognized. Leonardo DiCaprio forever one of the great travesty mm-hmm. of ever, like never getting recognized for anything.
But then like that just like skyrocketed him. I mean, he went to the Basketball Diaries. He went to go play Romeo and Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
He played in obviously Jack Dawson in Titanic, one of the highest grossing films of all time.
One of the most winning films of all time.
Yeah,
he
didn't win
awards.
He didn't win an award for it.
Travesty. God.
He's the guy that is always nominated but never wins,
never
except
takes
for
the
one
win.
Movie, which I mean, yeah, he should have won it for other movies. But we see like The Beach, Catch Me If You Can, Gangs of New York, The Aviator, Departed, Blood Diamond.
Dude, the fact that he was in two Scorsese films back to back.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. The Departed is such a good film too. Like Gangs of New York was great. Catch Me If You Can was great. Blood Diamond. I like.
Dude, and you know that I feel this way about Leonardo DiCaprio in 2010. He's got Shutter Island and Inception.
Mm-hmm.
They both come out the same year and they're both absolute bangers of movies.
Yeah.
What I mean, the fact that you're in two big blockbuster movies in 1 year is big enough, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not only in two blockbuster movies, you're in a Scorsese mm-hmm. movie and a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yep.
How do you get bigger than that? And you're the lead in both movies.
He's the lead in almost all of his movies.
Oh,
it's not like people are seeking him out to be a lead. It's not the other way around. He's not seeking out to be the lead in a movie. They seek him out. That's why he's my number
that's
one.
That's the boy. Look, he goes on that incredible tear in 2010, and then 2011 comes into J. Edgar, which I heard is just a bomb, which is unfortunate. But, you know, common thread for all of us. Yeah. We all have a couple bombs, you know?
But then he rebounds with Django Unchained, The Great Gatsby, Wolf of Wall Street, The Revenant, which he obviously won his first Oscar for. He was and acting in movies since 1991 and didn't get an Oscar till 2015.
That's a travesty.
So that is, I mean, that is 24 years of that.
That the guy had to pay his due.
Mm.
And I don't like that. It should not have taken him that long to get what he got.
Mm-hmm. But
dude, and like The Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort. Yeah. We're not awarding him anything for this.
Yeah, I honestly, that's one of my most favorite movies with him in it. I really enjoyed also Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I mean, Inception is obviously going to be one of those movies that I always will remember him in as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just crazy. He's
one of the greats. Yeah. There's no question.
And I think that he will always be one of the greats. I think that he is definitely on those paths of like Jack Nicholson,
Robert De Niro.
Like, yeah. He's just on that path. And I mean, honorable mention is Jack Nicholson, Robert De Niro, yeah. Always going to be great. Not one of those people I seek out their movie every single time that it comes out, though. They've had some misses as they get older and trying to just get
trying
random paychecks.
Trying to grab
paychecks.
That bag, yeah.
but no, DiCaprio. Like,
dude, I mean, one of our greatest mistakes as a podcast, we never did a DiCaprio episode.
Well, I mean, we only did one actor one, and it was Adam Sandler.
Deserved. It should have been. So, I mean, DiCaprio has Don't Look Up coming out at the end of the year. Which
is that the Netflix one?
That is the Netflix one. It's got an absolute stacked cast that I'm working on pulling up. It's an Adam McKay, so we already know it's going to be very good. Mm. Matthew Perry, Jennifer Lawrence, Timothy Chalamet, Kate Blanchett, Ron Perlman, Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill, Mark Rylance, Tyler Perry, Ariana Grande, Kid Cudi, Insanity. And then he's got most notably, which I would just pay so much money to see it as soon as possible, Killers of the Flower Moon with Scorsese.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of a big deal.
He's just...
Which he'll be in with Robert De Niro, which Robert De Niro, Scorsese, like, let's go already. Yeah. Leo and Scorsese, let's go. Like, worlds are colliding. Now, plus Jesse Plemons.
Is Joe Pesci in?
Yeah, Joe Pesci. Where's Joe Pesci? Let's get Joe Pesci in.
Scorsese, what are you doing right now? Get him signed.
Dude. And you know what? Joe Pesci, honestly, one of the strangest careers of almost any actor. He goes on absolute tears with Goodfellas and Casino and Home Alone, and he does amazing things. And then the dude just, like, disappears for 20 years. He goes and golfs and goes and hangs out, does his life for 20 years, comes back, makes The Irishman.
Yeah.
So, all right, dude. You do you, Joe Pesci.
Yep.
Whatever you
got. Good for him.
Good for him. Great, great list. That awesome stuff. Great actors, actresses all the way around. Our top five. Any last things you want to toss in the podcast before we jet out of here?
Yeah, Emma Watson, if you're listening.
Now's your chance.
Yep, slide in my DMs.
You DM him. He's done DMing you.
Yeah.
You DM him.
No, I'm not done DMing
you. It'll always happen. That was our final take. You can always send us your final take through social media at Final Take Pod on Twitter or Instagram. Be sure to subscribe and listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And leave us a review as well. If you like the show, let us know. Next week is our final episode of Final Take.
Yep.
I'm sad. It's a little bittersweet. It's going to be sad. And you know what? To honor really what this podcast set out to do in the first place, which to talk about movies. Mm-hmm. So we are just going to celebrate that in the final episode. We're just going to talk about movies.
Yeah.
Movies that we like. Maybe that we don't like, that cause tension, that whatever. Like, I'm just going to roll through a bunch of movies and we're just going to have a conversation about them.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really fun time. I'm very excited, but it will in fact be our final episode of the show. And we'll give a nice thank you and a nice send off.
For sure.
But until then, thank you for listening. Stay safe, get vaccinated, do the damn thing, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Go watch some movies.
Ciao.